All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Beats. The original format here today, Brendan Quinn back off of golf duty. I'm, of course, Nick Weinbrenner. Brendan, back from the Masters. Before we get into this, this has been like a lifelong dream of yours, correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those deals that you – I think I said this to you when we talked maybe last week, that it's one of those just weird things to go to because you watch it on TV your whole life, and then you're there in person.
And it looks exactly the same, sort of, I guess, because it's fall.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit different this year because there's no spectators and there's, you know, all the things that come with spring, so the azaleas,
the flowers,
all the stuff that CBS kind of plays up wasn't there. Yeah. But, I mean, the course is just insane. Insane. So, when you're there and you see, like, all the sights that you see on TV, it's kind of like an out-of-body experience. And then there's, like, you know, the cognitive dissonance that kind of comes with like being comfortable with just like Augusta's also like just the epitome of just evil in a lot of ways where you're like, well, let's just kind of ignore that for now.
Sounds like sports in 2020, my man, every single day.
Yeah. Right. But still it sounds like covering. Yeah. It's like covering college sports when you have opinions on amateurism, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah, you got to bury those deep down.
Yeah. But like just walking with Tiger Woods at Augusta National for like 9 holes when nobody else is there, you're just like, it's one of those deals where you're just kind of looking around. You're like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, is this happening?
Right. Do I belong here? Yeah, right.
Just some moron, right, from Philadelphia, like just out here wandering around like it's a normal thing or like I belong there. It was just ridiculous, but it was awesome. I'm so happy that the Athletic is making the investment in golf that they are, and I think the coverage has been ratcheted up pretty well.
People seem to like it,
yeah. It's only going to get bigger and bigger. Hope to even add some bodies, you know, for next season, and that's kind of a conversation that's ongoing. But the response has been great from readers. So if anyone wants to get caught up on that stuff, you know, there's a lot of evergreen stories up there for anyone who wants to go read some golf as the temperatures dip into the 30s. You can just kind of escape to a different world. Although I'm playing on Friday.
I was going to say, it was warmer-ish out earlier this week. Are they playing the Masters currently for regular time next year? Or is that going to be
You're damn straight, man.
They don't know yet?
In a perfect world, I'll have a basketball season just bookended by the Masters. Where I go to the Masters, cover the basketball season, and go right from the Final Four back to the Masters.
It's all coming together here. Now, before all that happens, of course.
Just add a vaccine in there, and we'll all be good, man.
All be safe and fine. Before all that happens, of course, basketball season is upon us. College basketball season is actually here. Well, sort of here, I guess, is here. They're going to play. They have a schedule. Everyone has a schedule. I saw you guys, Michigan State, or I should say the Big Ten poll. You and Adam Doherty put that out from the Columbus Dispatch. So Hoops is finally here. They have a schedule. It looks like they're going to do this. I guess let me start with that. Like, what's your sort of – and I'm going to ask you the same thing that everybody asked us in June, July, August. I mean, what's your sort of confidence level that they'll be able to, you know, sort of get their way through reasonably a non-conference schedule and then, you know, get ready to play in Big Ten slate, you know, as it comes?
Yeah, I would – so my confidence level, I would say in terms of the completion of a season, right, getting to the NCAA tournament.
Getting to the tournament, yeah.
And holding a tournament. I would say confidence level and that actually happening is moderate to high-ish
that actually gets it. Yeah.
You know, it's going to be ugly and it's going to be unlike anything that we've ever seen. There's going to be just a ton of cancellations. There's going to be a ton of teams pausing. There's going to be weird NCAA tournament resumes where you have some teams that played 15 games and you had some teams that played 25 games. It's going to be really messy, but everyone is determined to get to an NCAA tournament because they need the payoff of it. This is the lifeblood of basically collegiate athletics, taking football out of the picture, right? In terms of financing, the finances of the NCAA and intercollegiate athletics, like it's the NCAA tournament. So come hell or high water, man, like, it would have to reach such levels for them to call the season or for like conferences and schools to start shutting down. Cause that's how it all happened, right? The NCAA doesn't just end basketball.
The conferences have to do it themselves. Yeah.
Right. Schools shutting down or conferences just calling it.
Right.
Is it possible? Sure. I mean, this could get really messy here. You know, we have the holiday season. People are clearly not listening to, you know, requests to not travel and not gather. So there's going to be spikes. And how does that translate to sports? We'll see. You know, you hope it works out. But all I know is my ass still isn't going to go see my family for now going on 12 months. So if I can do it, you know, any of you assholes can. But the idea of getting it in is so much at the forefront of things. I have my opinions. I think they should have just bagged non-conference play altogether.
Yeah,
I don't think it was a venture really worth going.
I can understand the motivation because the small schools needing to get money, and I get it, but yeah.
I mean, there's a number of things, and there's TV. It's TV.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day. So, But I just hope it's not an unnecessary risk in the grand scheme of things, where if you had just whittled it down to every league's going to have its own protocols for testing. Mm-hmm. Every league is only going to play itself, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, every league gets to send at least one school to the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine, right? You don't even need a conference tournament. It's at the league's discretion every year. Yeah, you don't have to send your conference champion. You can send your regular season champion.
Right.
I would have preferred it just to see it like that. What it seems a lot more plausible. You know, you could still have buffered out the season and started, like, even if you don't want to wait until like February 1, like Rick Pitino is talking about, you could start this time of year and everyone played a 22 game league.
Right.
Schedule,
100%. Yeah.
Whatever you want. Right.
Yeah.
But that just wasn't, it seems like at the end of the day, people wanted to make concessions, right, to fit in with what you need to do for the pandemic. But at the same time, certain concessions just weren't wanted to be a sense of regularity.
But they wanted it to be as normal as possible.
This is what the basketball season looks like. Where you're like, well, no one really gives a shit what it's supposed to look like. Or the pandemic certainly doesn't give a shit. So we'll see. I don't know. But now, I think they'll get it in. I'm genuinely excited for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'll be at Michigan Bowling Green, which is actually a good game. Like, Bowling Green should be a pretty decent MAC team this year. They have NCAA tournament hopes, coming off back-to-back 12-6 seasons in the MAC. Like, they have dudes. They got real guys. Like, I think this is going to be a pretty decent game. And just the idea of just going and watching basketball.
In terms of preparation, because this is a big thing for football. Like, they, you know, the spring, I should say, was eradicated, and then the summer was so limited in terms of what they could and couldn't do. And some schools just, like, they had to stop, and there was nothing. And then, you know, the SEC schools and some of the schools that started early didn't have any practice time, really. They just got in there and went, and it was a sloppy mess, as I'm sure you've seen. Mm-hmm. Big Ten was the same way. They had teams that just didn't, you know, and some of these teams, it's been a disaster. Some of that was preparation and, you know, induced. If we can look back at that now and say that injuries have played a role too, because teams didn't have time to – I mean, it was a mess. Football was a mess when it started. Basketball, I feel like, has had time. Maybe not exactly what they would have had in a normal year, but it feels like it's closer to what it would have been. I mean, it feels like – do you feel like teams will be prepared to play, or do you feel like we're going to see a shit show and some teams out here losing some games that you're like, what just happened here? Because that has been the
theme
of football.
It's really going to be a case by case. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of teams that have been pretty uninterrupted. Michigan's been pretty uninterrupted. Michigan State went 2 weeks or 10 days, whatever, without Tom Izzo on site.
But they kept practicing,
Oakland,
right?
Oakland, like, Greg Campy's out there saying that, like, more than half the team has been out with COVID at different times like that. And so, like, Oakland hasn't had anything resembling a preseason, have to go play Michigan State on November 29th.
Right.
So a team that really hasn't practiced is about to go play, like, a legitimate top 15 team in the country. That's not going to go well. So, I mean, we talked about
but you feel like guys have had enough time to get their bodies right?
Yeah, I think that's all going to be fine. I mean, at the end of the day, the guys are working out and things like that. But we've talked on the football side about the limited practices, limited preparation exposes certain things in certain programs. And whether it's coaches, whether it's, you know, this notion of culture, whether it's accountability, whatever it may be, like, this is going to – situations like this separate places. You know, like, we know what Michigan State is, right? Frankly, Tom Izzo could have been gone and not even, like, had his hands on the place for a month And between Dwayne Stevens, Mike Garland, Dane Fife, like, and those guys who have been in the program,
yeah,
that place is going to operate, right? Like, they're going to be ready to play. Like, Purdue, I picked Purdue, like, fifth or sixth in my preseason poll because I was just like, Matt Painter in a pandemic, I'll bet on that, right?
Yeah, right, right.
Like, it's just a program. That, like, they know what they're doing. Other places, you know, we'll see. And, like, I think it's a great test for Juwan Howard and a second-year staff. And you know, what does this look like? Last year was basically because of Xavier Simpson's presence, it was kind of just John Beilein light, right? The way that they were running a lot of things, especially in terms of executing the offense. It was basically give the ball to Xavier Simpson, let Xavier Simpson be himself.
Yeah.
Well, you know, different story now. And there's been, you know, this weird preseason to maneuver through. And what do they come out looking like? Because I think they've got a ton of talent. I think they've got talent to be a top five team in the Big Ten. But, you know, let's see how prepared they are. You know, this is Juwan Howard, head coach. I think this is a great kind of picture of what he is.
Yeah, let's start there because, obviously, you know, Michigan State's got some questions to answer, too. We'll get to that in a second. But since you're on the topic with Michigan, a lot of excitement around the program, a lot of it recruiting-based because, you know, they have a class coming in next year that, you know, I think right now it's number one. Is it officially number one, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So the recruiting is starting to take off the way that, you know, I think Ward Manuel had hoped, right? Like maybe, you know, in my, you know, top end of my wild, maybe not wildest dreams, but top end of how I think this could go in terms of recruiting. I can remember back to when the summer they hired Juwan. I think maybe we talked it was like, how many five stars do you think he'll sign in the first year? And I think I said zero, and I think he signed more than zero, so it's working. But before you get to that, you've got a lot of talent on this team, but also a lot of talent that hasn't necessarily maybe played together, you know, or at least as much. So, you know, kind of what's your – I saw you pick them in the middle of the pack in the Big Ten, correct? Somewhere.
No, I picked them – I think I picked them fifth and Purdue sixth.
Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe top half, but bottom of the top half, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, somewhere in there. The top.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of look at the league as right now, like I think there's probably four legitimate championship contenders, Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Iowa. And I just have Michigan right now, just right on the outside of that. You know, it's just kind of one of those deals. And to be like perfectly honest, though, in recent weeks, like through the preseason, I've talked to myself more into – like maybe they're more of a contender than we're giving them credit
for. Why do you think that then?
I mean, so Shaundi Brown's eligibility, I think, gives them a lot more versatility. Franz Wagner, who I've been, you know, on the pod with Dylan, I've been just raving about for all summer being like, I think this guy could be like potentially like a third team All-American. Like, I think he could be really, really good. I think he's definitely going to be like a first team Big Ten guy. I picked him on my first team, all Big Ten. He's just such a different player. He's up close to 6'10". He's going to be doing so much more. Like, watching him without Xavier Simpson is going to be fascinating because he's going to get into these playmaking roles and be able to play through a ball screen and be able to, you know, the amount of these drives and two-point attempts that he gets on his little scoops, his little – Euro step, like all these things that he has. He's just such a weird matchup for teams. And when you look at the versatility that Michigan has roster wise, you know, there's obviously a huge question at point guard, replacing Xavier Simpson. But, like, if you can talk yourself into like, hey, maybe this is the year for Brandon Johns, where Brandon, a guy like Brandon Johns suddenly kind of takes a big step forward. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, you're looking at this roster and you're like, there's dudes all over the place at that point. Now they're limited in some ways. They're limiting in playmaking and it's going to look very different, but they got guys who can score. Defense will probably be an issue, right? You don't just replace Simpson and Teske and suddenly be able to still guard ball screens the same way. But, you know, I don't know. When you look at Michigan in comparison to a lot of other places, it's always easy to poke holes into things. Mm-hmm. And say this is, you know, the potential downfall for this team, but then go look at other rosters and tell me who's better on paper.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know? I mean, it's about how much they've played together and how much they've, you know,
that's the thing. Like, Michigan's old as shit, man. Like, they're all 22, 23. Hunter Dickinson, a freshman, he's turned 20 tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, got the Beeline freshman. Yeah,
he's 7'2", legit 260. I wrote about him today. I don't know if people know how good he can be. Like, I think he is a very real Big Ten Freshman of the Year candidate. Yeah. And look at what you already have on paper, and now add a potential Big Ten Freshman of the Year at center. Like,
yeah, that's a great – I didn't realize – I guess I did, but I didn't think about it. But, like, you're making a good point here because, like, Mike Smith's an old guy. Mm-hmm. You just mentioned Shaundi Brown is a old guy, two transfer seniors. Dickinson is an older freshman. Livers is an old guy. So in that sense, while you're welcoming in younger guys like maybe like a Zeb Jackson or Franz is an older guy, I guess, at this mm-hmm. point. You could say that too. It is an older team, right? And that's we've seen that in college basketball where if it can come together with the pieces that you bring in can come together and you have older guys that can kind of blend with your younger guys like a Dickinson or your Terrence Williams, you know, whatever, then yeah. that's been the math or that's been the formula, in recent years, which is why it'll be interesting coming, down the road when Juwan brings in all these younger kids. If you don't have the old, it's not been necessarily the Kentucky model. It's been the Texas Tech model. And maybe mm-hmm. Michigan has a little bit of that with some of the older guys that have come in here. If they can fit into the program the way they want them to, then suddenly the younger talent is allowed to blossom as the older guys kind of keep the train on the tracks so it doesn't fall apart. Maybe suddenly right. you look at this thing and it's like, oh, well, maybe they – yeah, I can see it. What you're saying is maybe you look back in a month and a half and be like, why the hell weren't we talking about them in the top two or three?
Yeah.
Because they have the older talent to maybe blend it together, but it's got to blend.
And, like, I mean, from conversations I've had kind of inside over there, for all the hype about next year's class and all this excitement and,
sure.
and blah, 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 everyone over there was only talking about, like, this season needs to get in because this – like we're not going to get a chance with these guys again, right? Where you've got Franz Wagner, who's just been killing it all summer by all accounts over there.
Yeah.
But the idea of having Wagner and Livers together and potentially Shaundi Brown, having these guys on the floor together, Livers. Everyone gets a free year after this, but these guys are going to go pursue their pro aspirations, right? Yeah. Like Franz, there's just not going to be back next year. And they were like, this team needs to play this year because they could be really, really good now, right? So you don't need to wait until next year. They have the pieces. If you look at it, basically next year's team, if you mm-hmm. let's assume Franz goes pro, you're only going to be bringing back two guys with more than a year of experience on next year's team. And that's right. Brandon Johns and Adrian Nunez.
Right, and that's where you're like, well, that's talent, but, if we don't have these guys who right. can kind of thread this thing together and, maybe that's something where they'll – that's a question for another day that they find a way to bring in an older guy or two with those younger kids next year. But now they have them.
They will certainly, especially at the guard position, they'll be looking to bring somebody in. But they're also going to sign one or two more guys, potentially like another five-star.
Well, right. So. Yeah. I mean, if you're talent's talent, so it's whatever. year two of Juwan Howard, the recruit, like we said earlier, the recruiting is taking shape. About as well as I get, about as well as you could have hoped when you made this hire, if you're Ward or even Juwan. I mean, all the things they probably thought about, during those early conversations. If we could just get, if we could just get it to this, and it appears in terms of recruiting, they've got that momentum where they want it. Year two of Juwan, I mean, we talked about this a lot, what it was in year one, like you said. I mean, he made it work. I think at the end of the day, that was the best example of that I could think of when the thing started. Well, what's this going to be like? And the answer was pretty obvious. We'll let them do what they're comfortable with and sort of go from there. But now, this feels a little bit different. But at the same time, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, like, what's your read on – I was listening to – maybe I read some stuff. Martelli was talking the other day about Juwan and, Phil can sometimes be – I don't want to say it's hyperbolic, but when Phil wants to support a guy, he's going to support a guy. But a lot of the comments,
I think you can say that Phil Martelli is hyperbolic,
right? Yeah. But it's in a good way, right? Like, yeah. But a lot of what he talked about Juwan, it made a lot of sense. It was, that he's a leader of the program, but he's a leader of the program that all the guys in the program seem to really just like. He talked about being in practice, and I remember we've watched a couple of his practices. If somebody needs to step in and throw passes to a guy or rebound or whatever, he does all those little things. What's your sort of read now here in year two of Juwan fitting into the program, Guys playing for him, guys really enjoying being around him, and then him just sort of fitting in here, maybe a little bit underneath the radar, but not. I don't know. He has a really interesting way of being like one of the dudes, one of the guys.
Right.
But also, like, he's still Juwan Howard. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it's that, you know, it's kind of a – it's everything from a big brother presence to a idol presence to yeah. – like, at the end of the day, how many times are these guys stopping being like, that's Juwan Howard? Like, yeah, right, what? Right. Are you kidding right. me with this? You know? I think there is a degree of that. And – his ability, I think, to relate, to speak their language without
yeah. Jeez, I mean,
seeming hokey or like he's trying too hard or like it's an act. Like, and the thing you hear the most about him is probably like the word genuine, that it's all very real and that makes it easy to buy into. And, you know, you brought the point about him being willing to jump in drills and, you know, bang with guys and yeah. grab a pad and body up against, you know, the bigs and stuff like that. Like, Martelli swears that that was one of the reasons that Dickinson committed. He visited once, mm-hmm. watched a practice, and, like, Juwan Howard's, like, in there bodying up against right. John Teske and stuff. And yeah. Dickinson's like, well, if I want to be a pro, right. that's how I want to go learn, right? I'm going to go play right. against Juwan Howard every day yeah. in college.
Right.
So it makes a lot of sense. And, yeah, I mean, I think his comfort level will go up in year two. But again, like, we need to see it, they basically need to have a redesigned offense this year.
Right. Yeah.
And their ball screen defense from all accounts has kind of been not great through the preseason. Right. So, you know, we can sit here and talk about he's genuine and everyone loves him and he's great and all that stuff. But, like, I think this year in terms of the coaching ability of the staff as a whole, not just, it's not just on Juwan, right. The coaching ability of the staff as a whole is going to be under the heat lamp, a little bit here this year. I mean, that yeah. thing, they couldn't have inherited a better situation with Simpson and Teske as your bookend pieces. And now that's gone.
So it goes beyond, like, you know, we know he's got them in terms of, you know, guys are going to play for him. That's been something that's carried over, and he really had no problem with that, like, at all. It didn't seem like, but yeah, I mean, at this point, it's.
I mean, and I like the dude can flat, like, the dude can coach. You could just tell by the yeah. stuff that they would run out of timeouts and things like that. But, like, you know, when I'm talking about the redesigned offense and things like that, they're going to need to be different. You can't just run it back what you were doing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I get that part of it. I just, like, it's, and I guess in some ways it's the interesting, like, what is it going to look different? Is it going to feel different? Or is it going to be more or less? Well, how would it look different? I mean, what do you anticipate anything? Or are you going in blind here? Do you anticipate it markedly different? I mean,
well, they had the most ball dominant, one of the most ball dominant point guards in the country last year, and it was just endless ball screens for Xavier Simpson.
Well, right, yeah, yeah.
Make a decision. Well, that's they don't even have a point guard who can really play that way. Like, right. Eli Brooks is not that. We haven't even seen Eli Brooks as a primary point guard. We haven't seen Mike Smith play in the Big Ten. It's a big ask, you know, to deal with up transfers, right? It's always mm-hmm. a great on paper.
Yeah, right. Doesn't always.
And then you see the guy on the court and you're like, oh, well, that's, there was a reason he was in the Ivy League, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Mike Smith's like 5'9". So.
Yeah, that's what I'm anticipating with some of this. It's like, I mean, he can either be a great fit or it's like, well, there was a reason why he chose this instead of going to the league. I mean, that's like, we see mm-hmm. that in football a lot, and it was more in football than basketball where it was like, we'd always get these, well, you know, so-and-so's looking at an offensive line grad transfer. My answer to that always was like, well, if he was – no offense, but if mm-hmm. he was good enough, he'd be in the league. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he wouldn't have played a fifth year. And there's some of that with hoops too, but I think it can work out where it's either the – he grad transferred because he wasn't ready or he grad transferred because nobody knows who the hell he is and he needs a chance mm-hmm. to show that. And maybe that's what – you know, and I guess that's the thing we just don't know. And we've been down that road before. Michigan State, you mentioned earlier, Tom Izzo obviously had COVID and is over it now, right? Is he over COVID or is it?
Back on the job. Yeah.
Back on the job. Okay, so
came back this weekend, over the weekend, and was in person at practice, I believe, watching from the stands, though. Was still kind of staying distanced from things, but he had passed his whatever, you know.
He's feeling better anyway and feeling good. And
yeah. I mean, I think it hit him pretty good there for a stretch, but is doing well by all accounts. I know Dana O'Neill talked to him yesterday. Mm-hmm. That he was, you know, reported being fine and all that stuff. But, you know, he's doing his part in, you know, making sure that people are taking it seriously and still kind of preaching that. So that's good. But yeah, Dwayne Stevens basically ran that thing for
ran the team
2 weeks, and I know Izzo was involved by watching via Zoom and was still in team meetings. Obviously, you know, he upstaged like a hologram or something.
I'm sure the guys were okay with it for 10 days when they knew that. Once they knew he was probably doing fine, right? Like, well, you know, we could probably do it though. Screaming at us every 30 seconds. But either way, a lot of work for Michigan State to get in here because, you know, like you said, I mean, you lose two not just good players, you know what I mean? Like, Winston and Tillman were, like, I mean, it's hard, right? Because foundational players within what Izzo's built there can, you know, it's staggered over the years because you have guys that just sort of carry on what he's sort of right. built. And those were two of the, you know, probably supreme examples in the last 15, 20 years. I don't know. Like, I mean, Winston was an all-time point guard. Xavier Tillman's an all-time program player and an outstanding talent anyway. But as is the case generally here, you know, they've got Aaron Henry. They've got, you know, some of these other guys that have come up, Rocket Watts. I mean, this is an interesting situation too, but also one that it's not starting over. They have some veterans here that have played. They have some guys who are, you know, maybe waiting for a chance to break out and be a little bit bigger than they were.
Mm-hmm.
But also some unanswered questions and some important ones too. I mean, where are you sitting here, you know, looking at a team like I think you picked them second, correct?
I did.
So this is a team that, you know, like you said, I mean, it could finish, it could click and they could be awesome, or mm-hmm. it could be an adventure. I mean, you know, it's Michigan State. So that's the thing that happens pretty much every year. But it is one that should be competitive. I think we could agree on that one way or the other. They should.
Yeah, I mean, and when you're picking preseason Big Ten stuff, like, you know, Michigan State's always going to get the Izzo bump, right? You just buy right. that stock. But like I'm higher on Joey Hauser than a lot of people. Right. I think he's, you know, could be one of the better players in the league. And they just have so many bodies. It's actually kind of similar to Michigan, but even maybe more so. There's just guys on the roster that you like forget are even there. Who would start at a number of Big Ten schools, you know? So, you know, you're obviously starting with Aaron Henry, Hauser, Josh Langford. And Rocket Watts. Yeah, Langford's still there. And, and, you know, beyond that, you've got major questions at the five position. But at the same time, you can just go right down the list of, like, you know, you still have – a Malik Hall, you still have a Gabe Brown, you still have Thomas Kithier, you still have Julius Marble, Marcus yeah. Bingham. You have a guy in Matty Sissoko who could very well be the next great center or great big at Michigan State. And whereas, you know, I was talking to Dylan on our podcast yesterday about this, where he was asking like level of concern about the five position. And the point I made was, I don't really care about the five position at Michigan State right now, because at the all that matters is come March that if Matty Sissoko is the dude, they could be, you know, Final Four contender.
Yeah, right.
If he's legit, they could be really, really good. But that's not going to be the case on November 25th. He's going to need time. Mm-hmm. So whether Thomas Kithier or Julius Marble or whoever starts tomorrow, it's not going to be a big deal in the grand scheme of things. Right. I'm sure we'll overanalyze it, of course, but when you look at the pieces that are already there, those four primary guys, it's pretty damn good. And they could all take step forward. You know, like what is Rocket Watts is no idea. We have no idea if this is going to be amazing. Like, this could be the best show in the Big Ten watching this guy, right?
He could really be a
first team, yeah. all Big Ten, 20 points a game, like, mm-hmm. just cooking with gas. Or it just doesn't work. He's not yeah. a true point guard. They have to figure out a way to play him more at the two. And Foster Lawyer now plays extended minutes. And Rocket's out there, you know, just unable to kind of holster his shots and stuff like that. And it's Izzo pounding his head against the wall all year, right? Could be either of those
yeah,
two things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And which is, you know, fun for us to watch along. But, you know, if Rocket's that other version where he's just the real deal and Langford's able to step in and just be a shot maker, and Aaron Henry takes a step forward as a scorer and a guy who, you know, you can put him out top and let him kind of operate as almost a point forward, right? And let him create and do these things. And Joey Hauser is this inside or outside, inside, stretch the floor, play through him in the high post, play through him in the low post. Because, you know, you're replacing Cassius Winston, but you're doing it by not only committee, but with a variety of different looks. You know, the last time they really played through a four-man was Draymond, and they're going to have to go back to a lot of that. But if those things click, like, they could be really good. And you just have to kind of trust this staff to figure that out, because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Henry is the guy that, you know, a couple years ago when he was a freshman that you saw and you watched and you were like, okay, this guy could be something really unique and something really interesting. And I still feel like that's probably in the cards for him. It's like a 6'6", 6'7". Like you said, I mean, he could, in theory, Aaron Henry should be able to play four positions, three positions.
Sure.
Right? I mean, can he play? Okay. So, I mean, in theory, in college, a guy like Aaron Henry with his athletic kind of profile, we could agree, should be able to play at least three spots. Mm-hmm. Right? Could he play? Can he do that now? And can he play? Could he play four spots on the floor for them if they asked him to do it?
I'd put it this way: he can guard four positions.
Well, there you go.
So if you can guard four positions, you know, I mean, it's not, you know, 1995 where it's just position matched up. You know, you just put your point guard, shooting guard. It's just not that anymore. On the other end, you know, does he play? I mean, he's a wing who can go out top and play as, like I said, that kind of point forward, and they're going to do that a lot. Him going, you know, you want Aaron Henry going downhill because he can get to the nail and make a shot. He can go and finish. They want him playing for contact. He's a great free throw shooter who doesn't draw enough free throws. So his ass needs to be attacking. And he really was getting there at the end of last year. The last like 2 or 3 weeks, him and Rocket Watts were like taking things to another level where it was – that was the final four team in the last 2 weeks of the year. It was obvious. Mm-hmm. And then obviously everything blew up. But if that's the Aaron Henry that's coming forward and he can keep his confidence level up, that's a big question, though. I remember talking to his dad earlier this summer, and he's just like, you got to realize, man, that like he was the dude in high school without question. And he just kind of – he didn't have to force it. He didn't have to go hunt for his shots. They were all his shots. He got to do whatever he wanted, you know? And then he got to Michigan State, and he was so far down the pecking order. And it was more so this, hey, you play defense, and you rebound, and you do this, and you get your shots when they get to you. Well, that's kind of a roller coaster of mindset for a guy who I think kind of maybe does struggle a little bit with confidence and things like that, and maybe gets inside his own head when it comes to let his head get in the way of his instincts is probably the best way to put it, which we've seen with a million basketball players.
Well, so, sure.
You know, I think Aaron's going to get there.
But yeah, because it makes sense.
First team all league guy, I don't know.
Right.
The potential there, yes. But, you know, when I talked to Izzo for an hour a month or so ago, and I'm like, Aaron Henry, 15 points a game, yes or no? He said yes without hesitating. Yeah. So, you know, that's
because I mean, it makes sense, because you bring a guy like that in here and you say, okay, well, we're going to teach you how to, that's the program. We're going to teach you that how to rebound and how to defend. And then by the time you're a junior, we expect you to be ready to be all of this now. Right. Now it could be something where you say, no, you don't have to hunt for shots. We want you to find them and take them, because in theory they would all, you know, like you need to get others involved. And I think you'd like to see, you know, him be more of that part of his game. But in theory, at this point, you know, with a guy that all the things that he has kind of naturally within his arsenal.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that. I mean, I think it's safe to expect that he should be a 15 point a game scorer, a guy that also can help you get stops, a guy that also can help distribute, take care of the ball better. Right. I think, you know, you'd like to see the turnovers be lower. You'd like to see the ball in his hands as much as possible. This feels like, for anybody on this team, I mean, I'm probably not breaking any news to anybody here, but this feels like a huge, you know, a huge spot, moment, state, whatever, for Aaron Henry to sort of show what he's got. And I think we all would agree that I think he's got it. It's a matter of coming out.
It's the fascinating part with both places is that, like, these point guards that they just had were so central to Everything did, yeah. fed off of their decisions and the positions that they put other people in. Well, now all these guys got to get in their own position.
Yeah.
You're not just getting hit in the chest by amazing passes all game long. That's over, right? So what does that, you know, what does it look like? It's going to be awesome to watch. And it's like, it's the beauty. I mean, and this is what I love about college basketball, right? It's these, you have these kind of transcendent players, right? And then, and they move on and then
they're just gone. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And then it's, where do you go from here? I'm really looking forward to it. And the guys like, you know, a Rocket Watts, who, you know, last year was basically just a hired gun, play defense, shoot shots, you know, ever, they would just try to corral him when they could and not let him go completely off the reservation. But, you know, just this brilliant player to watch and this amazing talent. And now it's, okay, here's the ball, son.
Yeah.
You are running things. And that's a totally different deal. And on a, he was on a Zoom call with us yesterday. And I'm like, Rocket, do you feel like you have to change your instincts at all? And he was just like, no.
Right, yeah, not going to happen.
You know, like that's what you're going in with. It's going to be Rocket Watts is Rocket Watts, but now he's has the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
And, oh, baby, let's, you know, this could be really, really interesting.
The league itself, I saw you picked Illinois to win it, which is – Brad Underwood's got him going. I had DeSumo's back, so they've got talent. Kofi Coburn as well. Are you anticipating this to be, you know, Iowa's obviously at Garza back, so they're going to be tough and, you know, all this. But, like, are you anticipating this to be something where you're just like, we have no idea what the hell's going to happen here because of the pandemic? Or do you anticipate this to be sort of a season that you can predict? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, here. I see what you're saying.
With football, it was like, this was the hardest year I've ever had of like going down and, you know, I picked the games for Michigan State and Michigan State was a little easier, I thought, because it's like, you know, their program was in transition and a normal year it would have been. But it was so hard because I was just like, I have no idea. It's going to come down to literally, and it did in football, if you have a senior, you know, ish team that is like can do its own business without having to be prodded and poked. Like,
right.
We're probably going to be okay as long as you didn't have COVID problems. But if you had any questions in that, you were going to like kind of bob up and down of being like, maybe you'll get lucky and you'll be okay. Or maybe it will be a nightmare like we've seen with Michigan. So that's my question here is, do you feel like this is going to be a season you can reasonably expect things happening, or is it like this is going to be just total chaos?
So I think it is, and it's because of the nature of the league.
Yeah, the coaches in the league are, you're right, it's different. Yeah,
yeah. There's, you know, everyone kind of has their staples, you know, and there are enough knowns that when I was coming in and like making my predictions, it wasn't a like picking names out of a hat by any means, right. You know, like when you just go down the line, like Wisconsin basically has its entire team back. Iowa basically has its entire team back. Michigan State is Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Illinois has two legit first round picks and a lot of nice pieces around them. We already talked about Michigan, you know, Purdue has Matt Painter and some talent. Rutgers is basically running it back and adding the best, recruit that they've had in basically 25 years. Mm-hmm. So in terms of like that top half, like I think, yeah, those obviously everyone can slide up or down one spot here or there. Like Iowa could, you know, probably because of its defense, maybe disappoint a little bit this year and things like that. But like old ass Wisconsin, just playing old ass Wisconsin basketball
should be fine.
Should be, you should know what you're looking at there, right?
Can't wait to watch it, I tell you.
And now there's no home court advantages, which will maybe
That's
you know, yeah. Like it's going to be weird. There's definitely going to be a lot more parity, probably, and less, you know, teams get to go to places thinking that they can actually win. You know what I mean? Like
you walk into Breslin all of a sudden, my man, and it's a different deal. Like that's the stuff I'm talking about. That you don't that you so don't there think is about that. It. You know,
There is that.
Maybe, yeah, but it's like basketball's a different sport too. But it's not because of the home court advantage. I guess we haven't talked about that yet. Like, that's a thing. Like, you're not, you know, these – a team that's like a younger team maybe that's kind of finding its way that maybe they go into a place like that and shit their pants.
Right.
Not going to happen, you know.
You think about, like, the games that mediocre Indiana teams have won at Assembly Hall when they yes. just get in there and it just turns into this.
You're not, yeah.
Just like you're in, your head's in a jet right. engine. Right. Yeah. And you just can't play that. You know, teams just can't play that way. You think about, you know, teams that come into Breslin, you God, know, and they're just yeah. looking to survive and not just get boat raced out of there.
Get me
you know?
Out, get me to halftime with this until this is, and let these people calm down. Like that's like, the, that's the game plan. Not all the time, but like some of the time in Big Ten season, if you've got a moderately decent team and they're cranked up one night, it's like, let me just get to halftime without, and maybe these guys, these people will sit down and we'll have a sure. chance to breathe. Like yeah. that's gone. You're walking in the door and you're saying like, it's a, might as well be yeah. an open gym.
And like anyone that has ever been to State Farm Center or what is now, I can never
it's
call it.
Illinois, yeah,
hell,
yeah.
Yeah, whatever like it's when Spaceship. Illinois is good.
Amazing. Rock and roll
that,
in there.
That place is unbelievable, yeah. man. Like those students are on top of the place. Everyone's way, way into it. Iowa, when they're really good, that place is just a oven.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
It's just crazy. Yeah. Purdue, obviously, like, yeah. and those teams, they lose, you know, there's going to be teams that probably lose some home games that they wouldn't
that's
lose
what, yeah, that's
otherwise.
The, yeah, that's the thing that we'll see, I think.
And then, you know, like, the bottom half of the league, I think there's questions. Like, I have no idea what to make of Ohio State. They've just kind of this – they've got all these random pieces yeah. now put together. Like, Seth Towns, for all I know, could be a second-team All-Big Ten guy, or he could just be nothing. Mm-hmm. Indiana, are they ever going to make shots again and have a point guard who, you know, is the real deal? I have no idea. But, like, Trace Jackson Davis is a total badass
yeah.
who, like, should crush – mm-hmm. if they could give him an ounce of spacing, but if they can't make shots, all you just do is collapse on him all day.
Yeah.
And then you get into some very real questions about Archie Miller, which is a whole different conversation.
Oh God.
Yeah. And then like the bottom, your Minnesota's, Maryland's, Nebraska, Penn State, Northwestern, it's whatever. Like Minnesota's got Marcus Carr and they could be, maybe they can surprise. I don't see that happening. Maryland has dudes that are known Big Ten players, Wiggins, Darryl Morcell, who am I forgetting? Eric Aya. Like, they'll be okay. They'll be competitive, but they're not a contender. So, but that top half, like,
yeah,
you know what you have there. But then it's, you know, shit's going to get weird with between.
It's going to get weird. Yeah.
And it's just going to be, who knows?
The no build, the no crowd stuff, man. Like, this, not these coaches who wanted this non conference stuff, ask them in 3 weeks if they still want this shit. Because one of these teams, Michigan State, Illinois, Michigan, they're going to have one of these teams that you've never heard of come in here and either beat them or basically bring it to the wire because it's like, going to be an empty
Bowling
gym.
Green,
it's
Bowling
going to be
Green's
an empty gym.
It's yeah, a scrimmage, right?
Yeah.
And, like, think about all those times where those secret scrimmages and
yes.
shit. Where
why do you think they're out? Secret? yeah. Why do you think they're secret? If they're secret because they don't want to see their – they don't want us to see their team get embarrassed in front of a building where they don't have an advantage.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's going to be a thing, and it's going to be wild. Because it was like that with football. You remember when football started the first couple mm-hmm. weeks before the Big Ten started? Mississippi State went into LSU and beat their ass in Tiger Stadium. Everyone was like, what is happening here? And I feel like that's going to happen with basketball, and it's going to be pretty wild for a minute before. Maybe yeah. it was something like I could see Duke, right? Is Duke bringing someone into Cameron? Like a small team?
I don't
team?
Think so.
They're probably not because they never do it. They'd never play anyone difficult, of course.
Well, shit, like, they lost to what's it called last year.
They did, you're right. But like some of that weird stuff I think is going to happen. It's, or Kentucky. And Kentucky, will probably they never play on the road, so I'm sure they're going to have people at home. And like
Kentucky knows, lost right? at home too to
yeah.
what the hell else. But so well let's see.
Sure. I'm here for it.
Stephen F. Austin. Thank you, Mike. Mike there on the go. Back end watching our asses like usual. Let's see. I mean, Michigan State goes to Duke, which will obviously be
yeah
pretty fairly matched game. Their other home games are Coppin State, Bellarmine,
oh, yeah.
Elon, Illinois, College of Charleston, or sorry, Charleston Southern.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, I think it's going to be a weird one, and I think it'll be fun, though. But I think the first couple weeks, if they get games in, I guess that'll be the big one if they can keep people healthy. But, you know, I don't know. But we're confident the tournament's going to happen one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to see games and see
yeah.
answers to questions and watch some of these guys and I imagine it's like, you know, football people when they finally got to actually see football on TV, and you get like a sense of like, I'm going to sit down here and I'm going to watch this game, and it's going to be awesome.
Whatever happens, it'll happen. Well, speaking of football, you got any football thoughts here, questions, anything before we get out of here? I know you were
did you enjoy your Saturday night?
No. I got to tell you, the last 2 weeks were both Saturday night games. Michigan State obviously didn't play, but 2 weeks ago it was Michigan State at noon, and then Michigan played at 7:30, and you're just like, by the end of the Michigan game, it was just like, I can't, this is like the longest. And then last week was even worse. You know, because Michigan lost 49-11, and people are like, it's a trip to the dentist. And then last week was a disaster. So next week will be a noon game. So, no.
Is there any other, like, we talked about programs with preparation and things like that. And that, you know, what it takes to kind of survive this very weird season. Is there any other, especially when you look at Michigan, Michigan State, like, is there any lessons that you think that you can kind of take from what you've watched on the football side that you think are transferable over to hoops, where it's like, look out for this trap door, boys, because it's coming your way if you're not looking for it.
I would say that you have to, if you are these coaches, trainers, whatever, people that are around the kids every day, you know, kids, whatever, young adults.
Right.
You have to, I think, really more than any other year ever, and you should do this always anyway, but like maybe this is a lesson that people can start learning here and using in future years. You have to be cognizant of the what the kids are going through more than you ever have day to day, because the semester itself, you know, having these kids have to go through class and all the stuff they're having to go through just to practice, right?
Yeah.
It is taking a toll. And I think that it's taking a toll. And I think we're seeing in football confidence with kids going just like all over the damn place.
Right.
If a player doesn't have that like pre-built, that's what we're talking about. Like maybe a young kid on a team, like a basketball team, a young kid who like a Brandon Johns or whomever, like you're asking him to take another step. Like, because I feel like Michigan ran into this. They just didn't have a gauge of where kids were with their confidence. These kids looked confident, but they didn't have anything to fall back on. And when something changed and the rug got pulled, they had no idea how to get up. And it was like they spent 3 weeks like a turtle on their back, no idea what to do.
Right.
And then you saw that Rutgers game where it's 3 overtimes. And at the end, they're like, we're just trying to survive and get the hell out of New Jersey with something left, because we're just scrambling to figure out what these kids are going to give us on a minute-by-minute basis. And I think it exposed at Michigan a real disconnect with their ability maybe to totally gauge, hey, you know, this guy's got a lot going on outside of what we're dealing with here trying to get this game in. And I know that's a thing that all these college coaches every day have to deal with. But, man, I tell you, I think it's cranked even harder here because the stuff that, you know, the situation they're being put in, I mean, it's all fun and games, and it's not fun and games, but it's all whatever. It's manageable until you get out there and play and you're dealt, you know, it's a game. So you're dealt something that you didn't plan for. And can the kid reasonably dig in there and find something mentally to grind through an adjustment? That's the thing. You know, these younger kids that we've seen out there, it's been a challenge for them. And, you know, I think it'll be more manageable in hoops because there's less kids. But, you know, that's definitely going to be a thing.
Yeah, and I guess the only good thing is that they, you know, to a certain extent, a lot of them don't know what they're missing because they never had like the college experience to an extent, right? Your upperclassmen, that has to be so hard, you know, realizing like what this should look like.
Yeah.
And that they just don't get it. And like, I mean, everyone feels awful for everyone during this thing, but like, especially there's something about college kids. You know, forget athletes where I'm just like, you just don't get those years back.
No, never.
You know, and it's
you're
like
20
you get
years
this
old.
You get this window of time where there's just no fucking rules, man. You just do whatever you want.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right? It's just chaos.
But they
other people are maybe more normal. But
it's practice, film, go home, go to bed, get up, do the same thing. They can't do anything.
Yeah.
And it's not they couldn't do anything before. Right? Like football, you're pretty much – but, you know, they had their Saturday nights, Sundays, maybe have a little time to blow off some steam. They don't have any of that now. There's none. So it's all this or nothing, more than it ever was. So, like, that's the challenge. It's a mental health, I guess, is probably the X factor is, like, how you can you keep guys in a good headspace to where they're reasonably not just miserable when something right. doesn't go their way. Like that's like, if you fall into a funk, how long are you going to stay in that funk? Like that's the thing that I've sort of watched with some of these teams. Cause it's been that, you know, we saw LSU start out in a disaster and Michigan's had a disaster, Penn State's 0-5, you know, like all this stuff. And you know, how long are you going to stay in the mud before you yeah. get up and get going?
Here's a question. Have you seen at all, like these programs that have had pauses, has there been any guys bailing or anything like that?
Very beginning, there were, because, well, before the season, but once it started, but I do think that guys aren't pushing it. You know, if they have a reasonable pro stock at all, if they get hurt, you know, like a hamstring or something, which a lot of these have been, you know, guys weren't in shape because they didn't have time to prepare.
Right.
Basketball, I think they've been more. But I think you've seen that too. Yeah. If a guy like at Michigan, they've got, I don't know what Jalen Mayfield's injury is, but maybe it's severe. I don't know. But like if it was even minor, I wouldn't play. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know, why are you going to go back out there and risk further, you know, when you've tried to come in here and help them out this season, you try, you know, I assume the condition is like, you know, hey, I mean, I'm not going to do it if it's going to jeopardize my.
Right.
You know, ability to train in the spring for the draft. So, you know, that would be something that I could see happening. Yeah. Like if a guy is he's back this year, but for the most part, he's going to be a draft pick. And like, if he sprains his ankle, mm-hmm. well, that's probably it for a long time.
I've even wondered if you see a situation where someone comes out, is already a pro prospect. He plays 7 games and just murders. Has, you know, puts great and stuff on
I'm
film.
Going home. Yeah,
maybe. And then there's a 2-week shutdown and there's games being canceled all over the place. And they're just like, man, I'm washing my hands. I'm going to go work with a trainer. I'm just preparing for the draft. This is a waste of time. Like,
I think it's easier to do that in hoops.
I'm not saying it'll be, you know, rampant, but like, I imagine I just have to think.
No, I think that'll happen in basketball. There. Yeah. I think it'll happen more in basketball. We've seen that in football. That kid from, we saw a lot of opt-outs in August, and then once they started mm-hmm. playing games, those slowed down. But I could see more of that happening in basketball because it's easier to do. You can mm-hmm. you can pull off and say, I'm going to go work with a trainer and get the same work I'm going to get in here, and I'm going to run some open gyms or whatever, and it's not going to be that much different. Like, we're in football, mm-hmm. if you're an offensive tackle, like, you got to play. Like, you can't, right. you can't just train, you know, unless, you know, if you're still trying to grind into a spot where you think you're going to be draftable. That's right. a different story. But if you're already there, you know, like it's for hoops especially, it's probably easier.
Because like that idea of like staying together where these places, like, you know, you get to sell the idea of like, you know, it's just us, right? We're all in this together. We're all we
At
have.
At some point it does become that. Yeah.
Like it has to be that, right?
At some point it does. Once the
place,
season
the places
starts,
where it's
it does,
real versus the places where it's just empty words.
Yeah, right.
Has to become apparent pretty quickly.
Yeah, and that's the thing that everybody's going to have to decide. Like, because once it starts and you get into it, and, you know, for these college teams, for the hoops teams, I assume that these non-conference schedules are not going to go the way that they've had written down on paper, and I don't think anybody assumes that's going to happen. But once they get into Big Ten play, and it's reasonable, like, okay, everyone's really here for it now, and we're going to try everything, you know, it's not, you know, we're going to have protocols that we go by, but yeah, I mean, once you get into it, it's going to have to be. There's no other, you know, you're either in for this or you're not, and you're going to have to make that decision yourself because it's either going to be worth it for you or it's not, because they're going to have to go through things just to get a game on this year that they've never gone through before and never will again, and that is a very taxing thing. And when you get into game 12 and 13 of that, you know, it's a lot different than – hey, everybody, let's get it together and prove everybody that we can do this. Like, you know, but then it's like, oh, there's another game and the dog days. And like, I think that's where it'll become a challenge. You know, once we get into, if everything's going along and they get into February and it's still maybe a month to go before you're going to play the tournament, you know, that's when it's like, okay, we'll see, you know, how all in for all this everybody is.
Right. Right.
So, well, all right, my man.
I think that's we'll see how it goes. We got out of here with talking about Harbaugh. Maybe next week.
We'll do a whole show on that if you want. But basketball is returned, of course. Everyone excited about that. That's great. I mean, I didn't think they were going to play non-conference, but we'll see. Maui Invitational is in, like, North Carolina, right? Something mm-hmm. like that. So, still called the Maui Invitational in North Carolina? Or do they call it something else?
I have no idea. I can't keep track of all this. I mean, some of these things have just been complete you know, ridiculous shit shows, this Mohegan Sun thing. Like, have you ever been to Mohegan Sun?
No, I've never been to the goddamn.
It is one of the grossest places. It's like this arena connected to a casino.
Oh yeah, of course.
Just ridiculous. And I'm like even take basketball out of it. If you were to ask me, like,
why would you be?
Where's the last place you want to go during a pandemic? I would strongly consider the Mohegan Sun. And they're deciding to play a basketball tournament there. So, shockingly, that's gradually been held together with duct tape recently. Yeah, but that thing, the South Dakota thing, I'm like, what? Bag all this shit. Why is it this hard to just do the simplest thing possible?
But well, we'll see how it goes.
What do I know, my man?
See how it goes. Anyway, if you got anything else, take us out of here and we'll...
Yeah, man. We appreciate everyone listening. Most importantly, we wish all of you a very happy, healthy, and safe Thanksgiving. And, of course, as always, we ask that when you get the opportunity, you take care of those bartenders and servers. Be safe. Farewell to the county, the place where I